My guest at this time is Father Robert Sirico. He's the president of the Acton Institute, located in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's also one of the most respected Catholic voices in the United States. And as such, we want to get his reaction to the announcement that surprised many people, and that's that Pope Benedict XVI will be stepping down from that role at the end of February, the first man to leave the papacy while still alive since the 1500s. And so we're going to take a little bit of time here to talk about what Benedict XVI accomplished over nearly 8 years and what the College of Cardinals will likely be looking for in his successor. And Father Sirico, thank you very much for being with us.
Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
It was thought when Joseph Ratzinger, as he became Pope Benedict XVI, the phrase being used in the wake of John Paul II's passing was that he would be a caretaker pope. Is that what he ended up being, or was he something more than that?
No, I think he was more than a caretaker pope. I think he unpacked a lot of the pontificate of John Paul II in the sense that he really delineated some of the teaching and expressed it in a slightly different way. I think also given his intellectual status, remember that John Paul was not an easy act to follow either in terms of his charismatic personality or his intellect, but I think the way Ratzinger went about his pontificate showed that he was his own man, that he had his own style, and that intellectually he was a beautiful complement. Remember that the two of them had worked together anyway, so it wasn't as big a jump as one might would have expected. I think where he did make a very obvious advance was in the renewal of the church's liturgy, especially the greater permission for the celebration of the older forms of the Mass, and a deeper understanding of the contemplative and spiritual dimension of Catholic worship.
And in terms of what perhaps led to this decision, he obviously gave reasons about his physical stamina decreasing as he gets up in age. He's now 85 years old. But as we mentioned, it's been centuries since someone has stepped down while still living. So were you surprised, and what do you make of his decision?
Oh, of course I was surprised. I was out of the bed in a minute. I wake up to the news in the morning and was, you know, just riveted by the announcement. Joseph Ratzinger has always considered himself somewhat delicate. I mean, as you followed along in his whole, even prior to being pope, he would always pace himself, you know, and organize himself in such a way. You'd see him walking in Rome, and he was never rushed. He always took his time. And he mentioned several times in interviews prior to becoming pope that he considered himself, you know, fragile and cautious. He also, you know, spoke very often about the possibility of a pope resigning, that this wasn't an inconceivable thing. While it is a sobering thought to think the last time a pope resigned was before America was discovered, I think there's some order that we'll see unfold here. It'll be a different kind of conclave because we've usually done it in the context of mourning a pope. And this time we'll still have a pope, who, or at least a former pope, who will be alive.
We're talking with Father Robert Sirico, president of the Acton Institute in Grand Rapids, Michigan, one of the most respected Catholic voices in the country. And, sir, there's a couple of different ways to look at this decision, which, as we've mentioned, is pretty unique in the last several centuries here. On the one hand, a lot of people identified with John Paul II as he went through his various physical struggles, and that endeared him to a lot of people. People identified with him.
Yeah.
At the same time, Cardinal Ratzinger at the time was there watching this very public decline of the Pope. How much do you think those two things played into this?
Well, it could very well. I mean, much of Cardinal Ratzinger's life, and even as Benedict XVI, was an intellectual contribution. And so if he sees himself continually fatigued, getting older, you know, I could see him wanting to do this in a different way than the more theatrical, the more charismatic John Paul II would have handled it. I think John Paul II did teach greatly, not by words only, but by his, you know, resignation and acceptance of his disabilities. Evidently, Benedict XVI has chosen not to do it in that way. It's odd because he comes from a family of longevity. His mother was in her 90s when she died. His sister was in her 90s. His brother now is older than him. You know, he offered, that is, Benedict offered his resignation when he was cardinal to John Paul II when he was 75, and that was turned down then. So that he's gone this far and been this faithful is really in itself inspiring.
What do you expect from the College of Cardinals in terms of the search for the successor?
I expect a Catholic Pope. This may shock the New York Times, I know, but I think given the men that Benedict and before him John Paul II appointed to the College of Cardinals, I think we're going to get very much a pope, you know, a different personality, but very much faithful to the ancient tradition of the Church.
And you mentioned in jest a little bit there the reference to the New York Times. There are cable networks, as I'm sure you're aware today, particularly ones that lean more to the left, who are wondering whether this will mean a shift to the middle. They don't really define the middle of what, but what do you make of this call now, as there's about to be a transition in the leadership of the Church, for a more contemporary view on some of the more social issues?
Well, you know, this prejudice that the newest ideas are always the best is falsehood. And I don't think it much affects the way the College of Cardinals thinks about these things, especially given the fact that they elected Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger within days of his having preached a homily in which he identified and warned against the dictatorship of relativism. So these are the men who elected this man. I can't see that they would certainly weaken or renounce what we consider to be true. There is a tendency on the part of liberal news media to assess the Pope the way one assesses political candidates. That is, in order to get elected, you have to appeal to a popular mentality. And so the marriage issues, the life issue, these various kinds of things would be weakened. But that's not what the Church is about. The Church is about honestly discerning the truth and then articulating it in the best way it can. Now, would we have a different personality? Would a man be, you know, gentler or more convivial or funnier or more serious? Yes, you'll have a variety of personalities. In just the same way that you had the difference between Paul and Barnabas and Peter. So, no, the Church isn't going to change because of popular consensus.
Last question before we let you go, Father Sirico. In addition to being the head of the Catholic Church, the pontiff was also a head of state. What do you think of when you think of his accomplishments in that role?
Well, you know, I think that he went a long way with Israel to attempt to, you know, show that the Church is very concerned about the Jewish people. I think there were certain disagreements, obviously, with the policy of the United States that were outlined and made very clear, especially with the present administration. I think, I'm not up for Pope, so I can say this. I don't think that the Secretary of State, the present Secretary of State under Joseph Ratzinger, under Pope Benedict, served the Church as well as could have been. I will hope that we'll have a new Secretary of State who brings more polish and experience to diplomacy than the present one.
Father Sirico, we'll have to call time there. Thank you very much for taking time out of a very busy day and reacting to this news with us today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Father Robert Sirico is president of the Acton Institute, located in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.